As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
So you know how I was saying you can get any girl ever?
Right.
It's with this.
A finger gun?
Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
Watch.
Hold on. Warm up to it.
I'm not gonna warm up. You're not like a finger.
Scap!
What did you say?
Scap!
Scap? Do you see how weird you are? You're not like a finger gun guy. I don't know what you're trying to accomplish here.
You just got charmed.
No, I didn't.
I just watched you.
I didn't get charmed. It's not a charming.
There it is, man.
What?
You're getting hot.
I'm not getting hot or anything.
Here?
No.
Bye. Yep.
I don't know what that is.
It's
I don't
a
know
fan.
What that is. That's a
you
fan.
Made it.
I didn't make it.
You did make it.
I didn't make it.
I watched
it. It's just really hot in here.
Oh, really? It's hot in here?
Finishing.
Check this out. Yep. I got you.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, November 16th, 2022. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Hey, I've been thinking about my favorite animal the last 23 hours since the last part of yesterday's show. We were discussing it. And my favorite animal is the elephant.
There it is!
Nice.
Remember the clip going around? Do you remember it? It's because it's going around right now, so you don't have to remember it.
No,
reporter getting tickled by the elephant?
Oh, I didn't click through.
Oh, What a clip. The elephant. So misunderstood.
Next to Tassie, it's the bearded one. My top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo. And last but not least, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Just gotta run upstairs and turn off this furnace.
Who cares at this point?
I care.
All right. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Comment, like, subscribe, and thrive. Get your No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com and send in your questions and comments to NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. We'll be hitting the beach a little bit later today.
Yeah.
And in case you missed it, go check out yesterday's No Breaks episode, our Formula One podcast with Trey and Graydon and JD, breaking down the Brazilian GP and the fallout from that. Great discussion about dirty air versus the slipstream and what's the diff. I was learning. Also, shout out to Graydon Gordian and JD and your wife for buying the candy, but to put me on to Airheads. I had never heard of Airheads, the candy, until 3 weeks ago, and I can't stop eating them now.
I love them. Did you interact with Graydon's tweet about Airheads being better than Starburst?
No, I didn't.
I love to give him a Twitter audit at the end of every show, yeah. And it was honestly a terrible, terrible week for Graydon. Way too many retweets. But he's getting some heat with this Airheads versus Starburst, so
nice.
I think you should go in and get in.
He's got my full support.
Full support. Team Airheads.
I think
here.
So.
Airhead heads.
Good heat, huh? I'd give him bad heat.
Bad heat?
Bad heat.
You prefer a Starburst?
I prefer a Starburst. They're both great.
Is this heat on right now? Good heat or bad heat? Is it dirty air or not? All right, JD's off to go turn off the furnace. It's cold here in Atlanta. But let's get into the games. We'll hit the beach where it's a lot warmer later in this show. And hell, we should probably get a poll up, TK, about Airheads or Starburst here for everybody in the stream team.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
Okay. Yeah. I say I like Starburst better, but I don't think I've ever tried an Airhead.
I didn't even
know. There's only a few left over there, man.
I did not even know what this thing was.
Yeah.
It comes in a weird package. It's an oddly shaped.
Yeah, it looks hard to open. It looks like it's stuck to the wrapper.
Yeah, sure. It looks like, you know what? You're right. It looks like a piece of gum that somebody's already chewed and then put back in the candy wrapper.
That's part of
but
the experience.
But man, these Airheads, they got flavor. They got way more flavor than a Starburst, I think.
I 100% agree.
Okay.
I saw somebody tweet back saying, Mambo is really the goat of a taffy-flavored candy. But, I mean, that's extreme.
Oh, my God.
Mambo? Come on.
That's next level.
Oh, you're making me.
Hey, Mambo.
You're making me laughy. Taffy.
All right. JD's back, so let's get to the game.
Later.
Okay. McCollum and the Pelicans beat the Grizzlies without Zion Williamson. Probably one of the more entertaining games from last night. Good job, TNT. Welcome back inside the NBA. They were gone for a while. It's good to know they still are doing shows and showing us games on TNT.
On Tuesdays.
Yes.
Not messing with Thursdays anymore. TNF, too much. But this Tuesday, they picked the absolutely right games. Two up-and-coming teams, two extremely athletic teams with the Grizzlies and the Pelicans, two division rivals, two southern markets, the smaller markets. I thought this was ridiculously exciting. The building was hopping. The athleticism I just mentioned, I can't even pick my favorite play. Trey Murphy had a monstrous dunk. He's under the backboard. John Morant's dunk, John Morant's steal, Larry Nance's dunk. There's too many. Mm-hmm. But the athleticism, I think, shut down John Morant in the fourth quarter, because Ja was going good in the first half. He had 24 in the first half. But then in the fourth quarter, they were showing him a lot of bodies, Jose Alvarado being a pest.
Yep.
And then Larry Nance showing up in that pick and roll. Trey Murphy showing up there. They're blocking him from behind. Alvarado with the strip.
Clamps.
The clamps.
Clamped him.
Clamped him. Overall, I think the Pelicans – looking like that team that took Phoenix to six games in the playoffs last year, finished 10-5 in the regular season without Zion. They just gel, and Zion was on the bench for this one, and they were able to hold Ja, who's balling. But they're just showing him so many bodies. He didn't have Desmond Bane to go to, and he was 2 of 10 in that fourth quarter and only one assist. They're balling, and the other guy, C.J. McCollum on the other side, his 30 points. I think they did a better job of getting him off the ball a little bit, which helped his shots. So all in all, an amazing start to this night.
Fun game. McCollum, you said there, 30 points, 14 in the third quarter, and he was in a slump. He came into this one over the last four games scoring just 9.5 points per game, shooting 27%, so he really broke out there, hit three of those threes in the third quarter, seven overall. Pelicans shot incredibly from distance, 18 three-pointers made on 38 attempts, and they got it done in the end. And you're right, I think it was focusing a little bit more in on Ja Morant, no Bane to help him out. Jaren Jackson Jr. back for the Grizzlies, that's good. Looked rusty offensively. I mean, only hit three field goals, one was a jumper, and then the other two were off offensive rebounds. Nice putback dunk, actually, one of them, where he at least looked explosive. He was great defensively. I mean, blocking shots left and right, but the shot really wasn't there, and I think that's going to take a couple games to get him going. But what do you think of this one?
This was an awesome game. The bench for the Pelicans is so much fun to watch right now, and it honestly starts with Alvarado. He's like the biggest vibe shifter in the game right now. When he comes in, the Pelicans are like instantly trying harder by 25%. They're flying up and down the court, forcing turnovers. So the combination of him and Nance I thought was so good. Just the athleticism they bring and the switchiness and just the intensity was huge. I thought Najee Marshall had a nice impact as well. He's been a kind of fun player to watch recently. And you were calling for Dyson Daniels to step into the lineup. Didn't have a great shooting night. Made a three-pointer at one point, but nine boards. That was helpful for sure. But the shooting for Memphis was really the difference here. 9 for 35 from three. So Jaren Jackson Jr., they're going to need his three-pointers. Fast break breakfast. Keith Parrish, shout out to this stat. Two threes in the second half for Memphis. Their previous game against the Wizards, three threes in the second half. Against the Timberwolves, the game before that, three threes in the second half. Desmond Bane is out right now, and he's the only guy who can really shoot for the Pelican or for the Grizzlies, which is why it's easier to key in on Ja as a ball handler when he's not out there. So, little rusty start for Jaren Jackson Jr., but they're going to need him to keep chucking threes because he's one of their better shooters, and their half-court offense can really struggle if they don't have any perimeter spacing.
Absolutely, yeah, and they miss Zaire Williams out there a little bit. But, yeah, they need him to shoot. It's true. They lack it. you think with this Memphis team is that somebody would step up, but this Pelicans team looked way deeper last night. And you mentioned the guys off the bench. Dyson Daniels, it was a monster. He's a guard, 9 boards, no big deal. A block on John Morant. This is great for his rookie season. Kind of pushing Devontae Graham out of the rotation there. And, yeah, the Jose Alvarado, a monster again. The tweet from Scott Kushner here, a friend of the program, Jose Alvarado is the straw that stirs the smoothie in the Smoothie King Center.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. It is good. Oh, yeah. It is good, and it allows CJ McCollum to play off the ball. I think that was the biggest thing with McCollum with those stats you threw out there.
Yeah.
He's been playing a little too much point guard that he's never really done in his career to really run the thing over and over and over and over and over again. And I think that could work with point Zion, him coming off the ball. And that's what they did last night, even without Zion. He was just, it was more, way more shots deeper into the shot clocks, firing away, 7 of 13 from 3, because it wasn't just him creating. So that's why I think he got it going. And obviously, the straw that stirred the smoothie helped out Jose Alvarado, getting him going, along with Larry Nance. There's just so much athleticism out there when Jonas Valanciunas sits and Nance takes over.
Did you have a favorite play from this one? Trey, I know Tess took us through some of them, but was it Ja Morant switching hands on the dunk, Larry Nance's poster?
Yeah, it was Ja.
It was?
Yeah, of course. It's a switch hands dunk on a guy.
It was nuts.
That's incredible. Like, a switch hands layup there would be a Ja Morant highlight.
Yeah.
People would be going crazy for it. It's probably the number 3 at the top 10 plays. But, man, a switch hand dunk, it instantly brought to mind for me Kendall Gill. Then I went and watched a bunch of Kendall Gill highlights. Never switched hands
on. Yeah, I saw you tweet that.
I don't know what I was thinking, man.
I was buying it.
He always dunks left-handed. I will say that. He's a right-handed player, always dunks left-handed. But I thought, I don't know, I just thought that was his thing. He would go up with the right hand, switch to the left.
Never,
maybe he would just
he
go on left.
Did it?
Oh. I don't know. I only watched 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't going to watch the 18-minute version. I got real basketball to watch here. But that was it. I mean, the Larry Nance Jr. dunk was awesome as well. But he didn't switch hands.
No, it's a real Statue of Liberty dunk when Larry Nance
goes
up.
Total.
His dunks all look the same, like in a good way.
Yeah.
But just the way he holds the ball, the way he palms it so high. I thought Trey Murphy III's dunk going baseline there caught me by surprise. I know he's a tall guy, he's a big guy, but you just think of him as a shooter. But he attacked a couple times. That was a bit of a poster going baseline, but the jaw
was under the rim.
Yeah.
Trey Murphy's head was under the – sorry, not under the rim. That's – what most guys do. They mostly dunk. They're mostly under the rim. But his head was under the backboard.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. But John
and he
Morant,
had like the Jordan pose the way he dunked it too. He kicked the feet out.
John Morant's steal was
The pick six. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Like he was setting up. Was it McCollum inbounding the ball there on the baseline?
I don't know.
I think it was. And if you go back and watch, like John knows exactly what he's doing. He's like trying to goad him into throwing it.
Absolutely.
And just times it perfectly, jumps up, snags it, and then goes the other way and scores.
Yeah, because he has his back to the inbounder, whoever it was, and as soon as he tossed it, he just literally jumped straight up into the air, did a 360, found the ball. You know, it was sort of like a Kawhi back to the basket steal. He literally had his back to the ball, and then, goes the other way. So, amazing plays in this game.
Incredible, incredible game. Also, we had the back and forth too small going on between Alvarado and then John Morant. This is getting out of hand, but
small.
It's fun.
They're both very small.
Yeah, it's the attitude, man. That Alvarado attitude is... it's infectious. Like, he's going up against Ja Morant. He's a superstar. It's good for the Pels. So sometimes we would say, what are you doing going up against a superstar trying to say too small? But it works for him.
Get some
That's how we got him in the league, I'm sure. Like, that attitude.
My only other note from this one, this is a weird note, but Steven Adams at the free throw line. He bricked a couple early. I think he's 9 of 31 at the line on the season. That's 29%. I have I hate to be like the Lee Ellis of the group here now, but I think he should step back from the free throw line 6 inches. He's got to be like a Thad Young. You know, some guys in the league, they like step way behind the line. I'm convinced. I'd have to go watch all 31 free throw attempts from Adams this year, but they always are long. They always are just – he's too strong.
He's too strong.
I think he just backs it up a little bit, and I think he's up to 70%, no problem. So that's a free tip there for you, Steven Adams, because he just bricks the back every time. Just back up. Thad Young does it. It's hilarious. He's like 6 inches back, the old Van Exel. Step far back.
I mean, sure. He's 10 years into his career, hasn't been able to shoot free throws ever. Might as well try something.
Give it a go.
Switch to lefty. Why not?
Give it
Plumlee
a go,
did.
Is it working?
That's
for
working.
No, yeah, well, they'll never be able to shoot free throws, but it's okay. He outplays Jonas Valanciunas every time they get together.
Underhand, go underhand.
Speaking of lefty, I went and checked because I was believing you when you tweeted that Kendall Gill switched hands, but yeah, he just throws it down with his left. Even in the dunk contest, he was in the dunk contest. He had two dunks. Mm-hmm. They were left-handed. I guess that was his thing. He just thought, I'm gonna get you. You can't dunk with your offhand like I can.
It's a John Wall. You know, like, yeah. He just likes to dunk with his offhand. Yeah. I don't know why. I thought he was a switcher, though. Yeah. I'm watching the 18-minute clip later. I'm going to dig out one of
Maybe
them.
Maybe you'll find one.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, let's keep it going here. We'll go to the second game on TNT. It was a dominating victory from the Sacramento Kings.
What?
Everybody's second favorite team in the league. They lit up the Nets 153-121 for their fourth straight victory. They've won 7 of 9 now. They're a winning basketball team, and this was a lot of garbage time. You could go to bed early if you wanted, but you had to stay up to watch the beam get lit. And we found out how they do it. And I didn't love it. It's just a big old fake button that says Kings win. They really dropped the ball
Respect.
At this part. We love the beam. We love the purple beam. We're big on it. I'm wearing purple for you, Kings, today. But it should be a switch. That'd be so much better. Just a big ol'
like a light switch?
Yeah.
Oh, like a cool lever.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree with that.
Or a light switch, sure.
Maybe they didn't know it was going to be such a hit.
Yeah, maybe. But
or
it's
that
like
they were going to win so many games.
Yeah.
Beef it up.
So where do they press the button?
They just brought it out. I mean, it's obviously
on
not,
the floor.
It's not hooked up to anything. And they don't have to plug it in. Yeah, it's just a big old, like, it's on a pedestal. It's just a big button that says Kings win. It's not even like a, it almost looks like a fake button. Like, I don't even think it, like, presses down.
Oh, no.
Like a bobble button,
oh,
you know?
No.
So, like, they got Terrence Davis, I think, to press it last night. Now, he's all pumped because
okay.
he had a huge game. And then they're like, you got to press this.
Wow.
He's like, all right.
Press this.
It's got to be the lever or the switch. Switch it. No one would care. Do it. Because we're loving the beam otherwise.
No. But it is also smart because usually teams will do something before the game, like ding the bell in Philadelphia. But to do it after the game, you got to keep people around. Like even in a blowout, you want to see the beam lit.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good for concession sales. It's good. It's good for morale. So smart move.
For people that have been listening to this podcast for over 10 years, I remember we did a podcast probably in the Supersonic studio back in Toronto days. Where we talked about like teams always saying, yeah, we really flipped the switch in the second half. Mm. And do you remember we came up with the idea that there should be like a giant novelty switch like on the sidelines that they get to do, like press it up? That's what they should do. Do you know what I'm talking about? I remember saying that
sort
to
of,
you,
yeah.
like literally 12 years
sort
ago.
Sort of. Yeah. I think we could have said that before.
We
but yeah,
did.
Yeah, they definitely need to do something more than a fake button.
Yeah.
I mean, a bat. Like swing something, you
a
know,
bat.
Like I know, I mean, what? Like a baseball bat. Like
oh.
swing something, make it more of an event than a
sure, sure.
just swing something, all right,
swing, break
sure,
something,
yeah.
and the beam goes up. Anyways, it's making headlines.
It
there's
is.
A, there's a beam in Sacramento.
And look, it only matters because they're winning here. And yeah, what'd you think of the game itself?
Well, just happy for Sacramento fans. This is a national TV game. They haven't had one in several years. Since the pandemic, and I thought the best move was Mike Brown, second quarter head coach of the Kings, 15 seconds in. Bad play by Terrence Davis. He allowed Patty Mills to get wide open. Timeout, 15 seconds. That was a poor whistle, but. Whoa.
Did you turn the furnace
whistle.
Back on by accident? I heard some air there.
Yeah, it's quite dry. Anyway, 15 seconds in. Nope, can't do it. 15
can you not whistle?
I can, yeah.
So why aren't you?
I'm parched.
There it is. Ooh, that was very nice.
Yeah,
way
very
to hold
strong.
It.
Thank you.
Well, you play the recorder. I figured you could whistle. Yeah.
Hey, why isn't the Beam sponsored by Jim Beam?
Beam team.
Guys, they just launched it.
Yeah, I know. We're just ideas, man. That's all we come up with ideas.
Look,
we
look,
chuck
look.
Them out
when
left
we
right.
started the show, you know, we just do the basics. We're getting it out there. We're getting the beam lit.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely, adding elements. JD's fixing cameras
yeah,
midstream.
You're right.
Yeah.
They
you're
can
right.
do anything, man. I'm sure they've got somebody in the back room building a switch. They're like watching this. They're like, all right. Now, somebody find the Frankenstein letter.
I hope so.
Get
okay,
the props to
Frank-
the box.
Frankenstein. That's good. That's good. Bring out a Frankenstein.
Why not bring out Frankenstein?
Okay.
Try
so
it.
You were
anyway,
out of timeout.
Terrence Davis had the game of his life, and that only was because I think Mike Brown, who's got this team clicking,
yeah.
pushed the right button. pulled the right lever there. Early second quarter. He said, Terrence Davis, everybody get back here. We got to figure this out. And then Terrence Davis had the game of his life. He filled in for Keegan Murray in the second half as a starter because Keegan Murray went out. Mm-hmm. And this was just a monstrous game for Terrence Davis, 31 points. And just a message on national TV, which was great for the Kings, that De'Aaron Fox didn't have to have a big game. Domantas Sabonis didn't have to have a big game. And just to roll to 153 points.
I mean, that's a lot
that's
of points.
So yeah. many points.
The yeah. Nets scored 121. And they lost by 30. How's that possible? It's the most points the Kings have scored since 1993.
Ooh. Wow.
I bet none of the players on the Kings right now were born in 1993. I didn't look into it. No. Maybe Harrison Barnes. He's old. Yeah. That's about it. But, man, that was super impressive. And I think Kevin Durant kind of nailed it afterwards. He's like, they've got a lot of guys who could play minutes on a lot of teams. So Keegan Murray is struggling. You bring in Terrence Davis. He's normally like their 10th man, but he is a rotation-level player, and rotation-level players on any given night can give you 20 to 30 points. So incredible win for the Kings. The Beamtown boys is what they were calling them in the Scream Team, and I love it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's good.
Harrison Barnes, born in 1992, so he just made
the
cut.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, what was wild was this was like a tie game, you know, midway through the second quarter or whatever it was, and then the Kings just went on like a six-minute stretch where they didn't miss a shot. It was Terrence Davis, and it was Kevin Huerter, a big part of it. He's averaging 17-3-3, Huerter, now playing for Sacramento, obviously coming from the Hawks, shooting 53%. From deep on 7+ attempts per game. So pretty decent volume.
Yeah.
And the headband Huerter just can't miss right now. So fun win. I mean, I sort of believe like they are not everybody's, but you're saying it like a lot of people are like into this. They want the Kings to obviously do well for once in their lives and to maybe make the playoffs and make the play. And you got Mike Brown there, and they do have likable players, and they have a great fan base despite being garbage for basically two decades straight. You know, they still get people out. There's still a loyal fan base around this team, so it's nice to see them get some W's here.
Yeah, you got to get behind the longest playoff drought in North American sports.
You got to. Who would be next?
I don't know.
We shouldn't get ahead of ourselves. It is a long season.
I just know because the Seattle Mariners had it, because they had made the playoffs in 2001 until this year, and now the Kings have taken over since 06. They haven't sniffed a playoff spot. So is the play-in the playoff spot?
Well, save it for...
Got to do that again. But 7 of 9, they started 0-4, and here they are, 7-6. Good vibes, obviously.
Jacques Vaughn had an interesting quote after the game, too, obviously the Nets head coach. I don't know if our minds, our bodies, and souls are still in L.A. L.A. can do that to you sometimes. Snatch your soul in L.A. We definitely gave maximum effort against the Clippers, and we've been reeling ever since. This is back-to-back games where they have given up a lot of points. Like, we were getting excited about the Jacques Vaughn Nets defense, and that has gone poof over the last two games.
Jacques Vaughn's a poet.
You like that?
Yeah. Well, he quoted Robert Frost back when he was in Kansas, when he decided to go back for his final year at Kansas. He's a well-read fella.
I guess so. I don't know if our minds, bodies...
That's a deep pull, man.
I read it on theathletic.com. Get a subscription, theathletic.com/nodunks. Quoted Robert Frost when he decided, I'm going back to Kansas. I forget what the quote was. I'm sorry. I don't remember the line. I wish I could pull it out, the Robert Frost line, but nope. Not going to.
Okay.
And Kyrie missed his seventh consecutive game. It's kind of flying under the radar.
Yeah, yes.
Due to suspension. When, if, will he return?
Great point. Also, one more thing. I think I saw you tweet this the other night, not last night, but you've come around on these King City Edition jerseys. You don't mind these grays?
I don't mind grays. I didn't think I would. I didn't think I'd get into the grays, but well, they're rocking it. I know every JD and I were talking about the Warriors jerseys, and he doesn't like the new City Edition blooming flower on those jerseys. And I said, they do look better on the court, which is the case with every NBA jersey. They look better under the lights. And the Kings ones
do look better
under the lights. But other colors are better than gray.
Yeah.
I guess that's what they, but, so I don't know. I was starting to buy it. But they still look like jammies. It still looks like Harrison Barnes wants to go to bed. You know, he was born in 1992.
He's tired. He's like,
I did look it up. Who's the oldest guy on the Kings?
Delly.
Oh, Matt, Delly.
There you go.
Delly threw an oop to Len in this game.
Hey, man, that's blowout talk right there. Matthew Dellavedova threw an alley-oop to Alex Len. Yeah, this one was a blowout. Born in 1990.
Wow.
He's old. I didn't know he was that old.
I didn't know that either.
Nice.
So, hold on. I can't do math. So he's 32.
Yeah.
He's not that old.
Well, it's old.
For them,
it's old,
he's the oldest on the team.
Yeah. Right. I thought maybe they'd have another old. No. Not a Facundo Campazzo.
All right, our next game here, Luka and the Mavs. They blew a huge, huge lead, but they hang on to beat the Clippers 103-101. And one of the fun storylines from this game was Luka giving the home crowd, this is in Dallas, the universal hush or shush, whatever you want to call it, symbol with the index finger over the lips there, after he grabbed like an errant pass, chucked it up on the sideline and beat the buzzer. It was a big, big shot. But he's giving the home crowd the shush. And then he like, I think he realized while he was going back to the bench, he's like this, and then he's like, spins it into this.
Yeah, then it unfortunately became a review that celebration.
Yeah, yeah.
Great shot. Poor celebration. You could tell he was used to celebrating on the road.
Yeah, he said, I wanted a celebration. I'm not going to shush our fans, so I don't know why I did that. So that just, yeah, he just forgot where he was for a second. But weird game. Man, the Clippers and Mavericks play crazy games. Always. And this one, like, the Mavs were up 25, and
yeah,
just like that, it was gone, and then it was a back-and-forth affair in the fourth quarter.
They have problems in the third quarter. It's an ongoing issue for them, and they gave up that 25-point lead. But great signs that Reggie Bullock is coming along. Mm-hmm. He has been struggling. 17% from three-point land coming into this game. Jason Kidd is allowing him to shoot it. He shot 4 of 8 in this game, coming through in that fourth quarter. Dorian Finney-Smith as well, the other guy beside him, he had 13 threes attempted, which is also a very good sign. So it wasn't just Luka, even though he had to bail him out a little bit there. But they were just handling the Clippers. The Clippers just couldn't get any shot against this great defense.
What do you think of this one?
Yeah, this one was weird. This was a definite first half leads aren't real kind of game. Both these teams take so many three-pointers that they're going to have hot and cold streaks, and it was nice for the Mavs to finally see Reggie Bullock get hot. His career splits are literally hilarious. He's an under 30% three-point shooter throughout his career in October and November. December comes around, he's like 40% for the rest of the season.
Wow.
So he made more threes in the fourth quarter last night than he's made in the rest of November so far. And that, to me, is the thing with the Mavericks. They're getting enough, obviously, from Luka. Dinwiddie is assuming the role that Jalen Brunson had. Christian Wood is assuming the role that Spencer Dinwiddie had last year. It's the support guys around those three that have really struggled. Bullock, most notably. Tim Hardaway Jr. hasn't really had an impact yet this season. Maxi Kleba doesn't want to shoot threes right now. And Dorian Finney-Smith, he kind of broke out of his shooting as well last year. But, man, the Mavericks, 11 of their 14 games so far have been considered clutch time. They just only play close games right now. This one wouldn't have been close if the Mavs could make some free throws, but for whatever reason, they're a bad free throw shooting team, Luka included.
Yeah. Do you think he should back up 6 inches from the line? That's my answer to everyone struggling at the line.
Scoot it back.
Shoot three-pointers instead. I liked at least one moment in this game that I did like, you know, once it was like a close game, because everything does go through Luka, but it was like 3 minutes to go, and it was Dinwiddie. It was Luka actually off ball for a change, and it was Dinwiddie. He got a switch with, I think it was Zubats on him. And it's like, that's a mismatch. Like, attack him, get to the rim, and he did. So that was huge. You could even see, like, Luka giving, like, a little fist pump. He didn't shush anybody, but he was giving the fist pump that Dinwiddie, like, exploited the mismatch there and took advantage of it. So, yeah, good shooting game from the Mavs. I wonder if the way to play this team is to try and let Luka score 60 on you and just stay at home on all their three-point shooters, who I know have been struggling at times, but, like, there's such a different team where Reggie Bullock, like, a lot of those threes are wide open. And it's good ball movement, like, don't get me wrong, but it's because they're sending two guys at Luka, and then it's, like, one extra pass, and it's going to be to an open three-point shooter on the side or in the corner, usually Reggie or Dorian Finney-Smith, who I think leads the league in corner three. So I just wonder if the strategy against this team is, like, don't do that. Don't send the double. Let Luka, like, try and tire himself out just by playing them straight up. Easier said than done, I get it, but I think you have a better chance to beat the Mavs when you literally just take away all of their three-point shooters because they're not going to do much else.
That's my favorite move. I think it's what the Warriors did to James Harden pretty well when everybody had to go off, you know, on Harden's back with those Houston Rockets teams. I think that's the way to do it. We'll see what happens in the postseason. That makes sense. But Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, he thrives on – he needs that sort of that open space, and he's been – amazing. He has been really phenomenal, playing incredible ball, looking for a new home here. His fourth NBA team came over last year. And, he has stepped into that Brunson role. He's been incredible, averaging 18 per game. he kind of goes under the radar because Christian Wood's been playing well, and we talked about the other three-point shooters, but he's been so good when he gets space. He's shooting 44% from three, which is ridiculous.
Moving on here, Jeremy Grant, 29 points after that Sicko report just dropped, and this guy was on fire. Blazers rally to beat the Spurs. Really entertaining game, this one. They came back, I think they kept the Spurs to like 4 points in the final like couple minutes of this game. But do we have a new big three here? Mini big three, can you call it that? With at least Dame, Simons, and Grant, the way they're playing, the three of them, especially Grant, TK, who again, you just did the YouTube short, the Sicko report on this guy turning into Klay Thompson. My God.
6 of 8 from three last night. 3 games prior, we went 5 for 9, 4 for 8, and 5 for 8 from three. He's up to 49%. And he can dribble better. It's like he's shooting better, and he gets to the rim a lot more, which means he also gets to the line a lot more. So a major efficiency bump, career best PER, and true shooting percentage right now for Jeremy Grant. I almost said Jaren Grant. That was a what a way back playback right there. But Jeremy Grant, man, people are now already talking him up as a potential all-star. Unfortunately, seniority rules. It would probably be Dame for the Blazers if they're able to keep this up through the all-star break. But he will at least be getting some what-about-this-guy mentions, I would have to imagine.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What a wild start to this guy's career. He was, you know, a support player. Then he was he had that great bubble run with Nikola Jokic. Then he was thrust into a lead role with the Detroit Pistons, giving him that 3-year, $60 million contract. Probably too much of a role for him. And then he goes to – and he slips into the second role here with the Blazers and – people question.
It seems to be the sweet spot for him.
yeah, from 1-3 now to 2. People question, Dame really wants Jeremy Grant on his team. Is that the guy to take him to the next level? Well, so far, the answer is absolutely yes. Being the number one seed in the Western Conference so far at 10-4, I don't know how he shoots it that way. I don't know how the no-dip three-point shot goes in whenever somebody does it, but he's able to just let it fly. And, phenomenal stuff from the Blazers team. Obviously, the vibes working extremely well. Nice comeback there. If Nurkic plays a little bit better defense against Jakob Poeltl, who is 14 of 17 in this game, it would have been a blowout win for the Blazers. Yeah. But Jakob Poeltl, I'm not just saying it was bad defense. Jakob Poeltl is a complete basketball player. The guy is just good. I don't know if the Spurs want to trade him. I don't know if that's part of the plans. Who knows with the Spurs? They could just want to be good. But not just the scoring, not just putting it on the floor, but the passing from the high post. That guy is just complete. 31 and 14 and 5 assists in this game for Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah. I mean, Nurk, Billups made the right call. He went away from Nurk in this game and gave Eubanks a lot more burn against his former
revenge
team.
Revenge game.
And he was all fired up. It gave him some energy, but no one was stopping Poeltl, Teenage Mutant Ninja Poeltl. And it was an awesome game. What do you think of the PDX jerseys? The city edition there on Portland with the carpet.
I like them. I know Trey's going to diss them.
Do you not think, though, they should really have had a custom court with those jerseys? That was the one thing that I was like,
oh, you want a custom court, eh?
Well, it's such a glaring color difference between these teal carpet jerseys, and then you're like running with your red and black court. I mean, you might as well lean all into the carpet thing. Like make a, I don't know, like
make the whole court carpet.
Well, from the 3-point line out at least, so you could say from the carpet, bomb it from the carpet. Stuff like that. But if you're gonna do these jerseys, which are fine, I think you gotta have the custom court. That's my opinion.
You're being a bit of a carpetbagger. You carpetbagging me.
I'm not.
I'm digging them. Right. The PDX is very large.
Very
on the
large.
Jersey.
Very large.
Can't
quite
miss
large.
It.
It's huge. The mint trim. Is it mint?
I think it's. Well, I don't know. Is
teal?
It teal or mint?
Whatever you call it.
Sure, whatever.
Carpet.
Carpet.
Sort of like that.
Carpet
color,
trim.
Yeah, kind of.
That's even lighter. It feels like.
Yeah, maybe it is lighter.
Feels a little more ice creamy.
I agree.
I want to lick that jersey.
Ooh, lick the carpet? Don't do that.
No. So that carpet in Portland's airport has got some stories to tell. It's seen some things.
That carpet can talk.
It's gone, though. Is it gone?
Well, it is gone, I think.
They did officially get rid of it because there was a big uproar, I know, when they were going to. I thought maybe the carpet stayed.
I thought it was gone.
But no, I think you're right.
Anyways, I know Trey didn't. Not a fan of the overall look. Just the
they're
huge.
Just mid. They're just mid to mid. Me. Just like most of these. Mm-hmm. They're fine. They're fine. And it's carpet. it's carpet. But that is a thing that people know about Portland.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
It's rainy, and they got teal carpet at the airport, maybe.
We're not and they're weird. We know that. Keep Portland weird.
Yes.
Those jerseys are weird. That's the stripe. It's a monstrous stripe that's just kind of there, right? It's yeah. It doesn't really flow with the jersey, but I love them.
Okay.
Getting reinstated at a new terminal in 2024. Haven't been there since 2015.
Wow.
Whoa. That might be actual carpet on their jerseys. They just sliced it and threw it on there. Like
it's
a
like
sash.
They do with those like custom cardboard cards, right? Or you
get
the jersey cards.
Exactly.
A little piece.
Little
jersey.
Gotcha.
Actually, I'm talking to a No Dunks fan who's thinking about doing No Dunks cards with like piece of our t-shirts. I'm not even kidding.
Good.
So we could do something with charity with those or something like that. Anyway, that's coming soon. All right, final game here. Quickly, Brunson and the Knicks send the Jazz to their third straight loss, 118-111. Any thoughts from this one? I watched the highlights this morning. Full disclosure, I was not watching all 48 minutes of this one. But I did see Tibbs made some rotation changes. Fournier, you're out of the rotation. Your boy Grimes, you're out of the rotation. Bench came through for the Knicks, but what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not. They went tighter with the rotation, yep. Absolutely. Emmanuel Quickley coming off the bench, I thought was a monstrous difference in this fourth quarter. It was a tight.
Emmanuel Quickley. That's what they're calling
him. Wow.
Yep. That's what Brunson called him.
Did he?
Yeah.
Good for him. They love each other. They love each other. Brunson and Quickley were the difference in the fourth quarter. They are buds. Brunson had 12 points, 3 assists in the fourth quarter. Has been worth every penny. He was just he loves playing in Utah. That's where he made his money. That's where he made his contract. Round one last year with the Dallas Mavericks. And him and Quickley, I don't know why Tibbs – I'm not going to give Tibbs so much love. I don't know why Tibbs yanked Quickley the last few minutes. Yeah. He was on fire. He had 8 fourth quarter points.
Toppin came out right after him, too. He had just hit a couple threes.
It doesn't really make sense. And Quickley was doing a good job of playing D. He was stealing the ball, not allowing it to get to Lauri Markkanen. They were trying to switch and trying to damage Quickley in the post. It wasn't happening. They had the energy to beat Utah for the first time in Utah. Utah hadn't lost in Utah this season. They were 5-0. They've played an odd schedule. 10 games on the road, now just 6 games at home. So they'll get some more games at home. The only other thing I saw watching this game was Simone Fontecchio, an old rookie. He's 26. I think he's going to be 27 pretty soon, from Italy. Solid backup big. Danny has found some.
Oh, you love seeing Danny.
Walker Kessler, Simone Fontecchio. I guess he's more of a wing, but he's a large wing. And Danny's doing good. He can package a lot of guys for a superstar one day if he wants. But I don't know what the hell they're doing there. But they've got a lot of guys that can contribute to wins.
So the Knicks get the win, and this I think was on the heels of a players only meal? Is that what they had?
What?
They had a players only. I don't think it was a meeting. I think it was like a dinner or something. Where the coaches
isn't that just going out for dinner?
I know.
Like, because no one goes to eat dinner with coaches anyway.
Yeah, man. These coaches are so young nowadays. They're all in
Will Hardy.
Tibbs ain't going out to dinner.
Well, not Tibbs. Not Tibbs.
Tibbs ain't going out to dinner. Tibbs doesn't eat
dinner.
He doesn't eat dinner.
No, he maybe eats pot roast.
He calls it in.
Yeah,
that guy gets delivery.
Yeah.
He's watching film.
Yeah, right.
I'm with you.
Any thoughts, DK, on this one?
Are they calling him Obi Top Him?
Ooh.
I mean,
probably.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not? Him Reddish was also pretty solid, I thought, in the fourth quarter of this one.
What about Jericho Hims?
This is good, actually. That's it, unfortunately, now looking at their roster. Yeah, but Jericho Hims, that guy flies, man.
Yeah.
That guy can really, really jump. But yeah, you know, it's weird. I thought it was strange also pulling Quickley and Toppin. But Brunson was good down the stretch as well. He was just keeping him organized and getting the right shots. And honestly, finding Cam Reddish on cuts. I thought Reddish had a lot of energy, and they always say, you know, and the ball finds you. The ball finds energy. Yeah. And he definitely did, and he got a lot of layups out of it. So good stuff from the Knicks.
I think there is something funny, too, about everybody debating whether Grimes should be starting for Fournier, or do you keep Fournier in the starting lineup at shooting guard and all that. And then he just, like, Tibbs just goes, ah, fuck it. We'll just sit both of them.
I do wonder if Quentin Grimes might be one of those classic Knicks second half of the season. Oh, we're gassing this guy up. Shout out to Alonzo Trier. Shout out to Ron Baker. Shout out to Trey Burke. If you play well in the second half of the season for the New York Knicks, you're a superstar.
Yeah.
Until the next season. When Tim Grimes, though, would be good if he gets good.
Ooh, yeah. Just some injury updates here. I'm just going to chuck them at you guys. We had two guys that are going to miss 2 to 3 weeks with the toe sprain. You already said Desmond Bane there with the Grizzlies. And Pistons center Isaiah Stewart. He is out 2 to 3 weeks at least with the toe sprain. Everybody's spraining their toes here. And then Jokic has entered health and safety protocols for the Nuggets.
The Zion Williamson injury, it seemed like a foot injury. It wasn't a toe injury,
No, it's
though.
Not toe.
It's just a foot. We don't know how long. He kind of he was driving and kind of – it wasn't an ankle turn, but some sort of foot injury. I'm just concerned as well. I know those guys will be back in the lineup. I don't know when Zion's going to be back. It's sort of just a quiet – you know, more of a day-to-day injury, but who knows?
Reggie was calling him out on the broadcast last night. I think it was Reggie, right? When he was saying, like, you got to be out there for these big games. These TNT nationally televised games against Ja Morant and all that. I'm pretty sure that's what Reg was saying.
Reggie didn't miss a lot of games in his career.
No, yeah, that's right. Got him to the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to warm things up in here, and I don't mean by turning on the furnace. We're going to hit the beach, baby.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back in the Classic Factory. Great comment in the stream team. I don't know why this made me laugh. The only CBD I know is Central Business District.
Put it on a City Edition jersey.
So we had a poll going before we hit the beach, TK, about what you got, Airheads or Starburst? Who came out on top?
No surprise here. 61% going for Starburst. More for us.
You're right. You know what Airheads would need to do to sell more? Take them. Roll them up like a little like a little mini fruit roll up. I think people will find them more digestible that way. It is something about the way they're packaged, like that gum flattened out.
It looks like somebody sat on it.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, but if you rolled that up like a little Swiss chocolate roll almost of taffy, I think you'd sell twice as much. Talk to me, Airheads.
Man, Swiss rolls really, and fruit roll-ups.
I just found out about this damn product. And just like CBD, I'm all in on Airheads.
Yeah, Rap Stallion with a great comment. Skeet's finally experiencing the world. CBD and Airheads just in the last week. Don't go overstimulating yourself.
I know, man. Oh, man. The flavor, though.
Can't wait. Airhead. Can't wait to dig into that basket. I got my eyes on. I got
dude,
my laser beams eyes on.
Hey, who's doing this this move of dropping empty wrappers in that basket over there? Is that your kids, JD? Is that you?
That's got to be great.
Oh, it's 100% my kids.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm going to blame Graydon. I'm blaming Graydon.
No, Graydon, I think, pockets a bunch and then he heads out.
Yeah, he definitely does that. But
that's fine.
Oh, don't worry. They're grounded. I'm grounding them as soon as they get home.
Because I get excited. Grape Airhead. Grab for it. Nothing. Air. Just straight air. All right. Let's hit the beach, man. Yeah, stepping on the beach, the only place to read your emails and tweets. Sean here in the stream team. I had a bag of Airheads Bites yesterday. They're incredible. They're like Airheads jelly beans. So they did come out with like a version of their product, which is a little smaller, a little more...
Gotta repackage. You know, gotta repackage.
I gotta try these.
Man, in the candy game these days, you gotta have your flagship candy and then 500 sub-brands of candy.
Yeah.
Roll it up, bean it up, bar it up,
yeah.
Car it up. get in your car and drive around eating Airheads. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to repackage some content. You know, the Yanni story we've told 1,000 times about Yanni's being motivated by me to win the MVP. Yeah. Going to repackage into a YouTube short.
Got to repackage.
Got to do it. One piece of content should equal 8 pieces of content. That's what I've heard.
That's so true. Wow. All right. Well, I can't wait to take this next email and turn it into a YouTube short or 10. Here we go. There's a good one. And TK, I mean, this one is really directed your way. Hi, guys. The Bulls clearly aren't winning anything with this group of players, particularly if Lonzo Ball is out. So why not blow up the Bulls? Hear me out. Get one or both of the Lakers picks and try to tank far enough down to get into the Wembanyama sweepstakes. So how about this? Russell Westbrook and Scottie Pippen Jr., plus 2 first-round picks to the Bulls for DeMar DeRozan, Vucevic, and Kobe White. Bulls get terrible. Lakers get 3 NBA players, including another ball handler to take the load from LeBron, and a center in Vuce there to let AD play the 4. Also, Scottie Pippen Jr. comes home to Chicago.
Yes!
What do you guys think? They could go even further and trade Zach LaVine when he can be technically traded. The Knicks do have an awful lot of picks, so that... Crazy email coming by way of Ben S. What do you think?
You checked the tracking on this one? Is he a Lakers fan?
I didn't check.
He's a Lakers fan because this helps LA a lot more than it helps Chicago. Getting 2 picks 4 to 6 years from now, that ain't a rebuild. Hmm. And I don't think that they would be bad enough to catch the teams who already are like 2-10, right, in the tanking for Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes, especially considering with this trade – they would still have LaVine, and they would have Russell Westbrook. So, I mean, those are 2 competent players, and you're going to be better than the teams that have devoted this season to not trying to win games. I also think there is a little bit of value to being like a normal, competent franchise. The last time the Bulls rebuilt, it took 5 years. They were literally the worst team in the league, and they had nothing for it. Mm-hmm. Their best player that they got out of the Jimmy Butler trade is Zach LaVine. They've built around him, and now they're going to the playoffs. Their second best player they got is now playing for the Utah Jazz. I do think, though, that the Bulls absolutely need to make a move, but this trade should go the other way because the Lakers aren't winning anything with their group of players, so why are they not the ones blowing up their team? Trade Anthony Davis to the Bulls. Vooch can go back to L.A. Kobe White in the trade. Patrick Williams in the trade if they want. Lonzo Ball in the trade. Throw in whatever picks they have left. Not a ton of them because some of them are going to the Magic, but it's no different than this trade. Yeah. They can trade the ones that are half a decade into the future. So, I don't know. The Bulls are ahead of the Lakers in the standings. They've got a better chance of going to the playoffs than the Lakers do. So, I think blow the Lakers up, actually.
Yeah, I started to think about this. Considering the Bulls are sort of in a middle ground with the Celtics young ain't going anywhere. The Bucks ain't going anywhere. The Cavs ain't going anywhere. You start to pile up these teams with the Raps and the Hawks and the Eastern Conference, and the Bulls just are never going to be, with this iteration of a team, better than a bunch of those teams.
Right. So, but they're not going to be the worst either,
no,
like TK said.
No, no, no.
Hence the email here.
Yeah, and I think you can start to see, even though I thought the Bulls had given away a bunch of their picks in that Vooch deal, they still have a lot of picks.
Yeah.
They still have a lot of picks. And even
their coming first-round pick would go to the Magic.
Yeah, unless they were super-duper bad. It's protected top 4.
Right.
But they'll probably get the Blazers pick. They made that move for a while back, the Derek Jones Jr. move this year. They have their own pick next year. And then they have 26, 27, 28, 29. So they have most of their picks. And, you know, if they did get bad, it would help them in terms of picks. But yeah, they're in this zone where DeRozan obviously is 33, Vooch is 32. They ain't gonna get a lot better, but yeah. What about the middle ground in the NBA?
Do you remember the Bulls when they were tanking? They were the joke of the NBA. Mm-hmm. They had the worst coach of the past 10 years. They didn't have an all-star in Chicago because they were so bad. Some teams, when you're in a big market, just be good. The Bulls should be able to sign free agents, and they finally did, getting DeRozan and Lonzo Ball a couple of summers ago. Those were 2 of the biggest moves in the league at the time. Obviously, they went all in on Vucevic, which is a controversial move. I think it's still fine because it helped them get DeRozan, but his contract is coming to an end. I don't know. I mean, the Bulls are not in a great spot right now, but I like where they're at now better than they were 3 seasons ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm buying the middle of the road argument. Buying the sort of the middle of the NBA pack argument to some degree, because as I said, they're not going to catch a lot of the good teams, but at least you're not horrible. You're right about being able to sign guys, because you're a competent franchise with AK and Eversley up there. They have changed the perspective on them. There's no doubt.
It's you have to remember too, with the way the lottery is weighted now. Like, if you were to go through with something like this and you were like, okay, you're the Bulls, you're like, we don't want to be stuck on the treadmill of mediocrity. We want to lean into helping our chances to get the alien in Wembanyama here. But, like, as it is right now, yes, the pick would go to the Magic, so, okay, it's Orlando's. But the pick, with them currently in the spot they are, at what? What are they, 6-8? They have, like, a 4% chance of getting the number one pick. If you go all the way into leaning and get yourself into being one of the worst, what, 3 or 4 teams in the league, it's only 14%. I mean, it's not a drastic 30% difference, 40% difference. It's a 10% difference. And again, this is weird because that pick would go to the Magic, so it wouldn't even be Chicago's. But, like,
well, they would hold on to it.
Top four they would keep.
Yeah, but, like, it's not that big a, like, yeah. The odds are you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
Way more odds are you're not going to get
we're
it.
We're definitely seeing teams around the league not tanking. OKC is balling. The Pacers are balling. You know, they're not holding out Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in OKC. The Pacers still playing pretty well.
It's mid-November. I hope you're not leaning into the tank. Like, you can be a bad team, but tanking starts to really occur after the All-Star break,
generally,
where you're shutting down guys that could be playing, where you're maybe
generally, yeah,
trading you away talent. Yeah,
yeah, you want to sell some seats for the first couple months, for sure. Mm-hmm. But this is a special guy in Victor Wembanyama, so I thought we'd see some special circumstances, teams tanking a little earlier. Hasn't happened. Even Adam Silver, the preseason, was talking about teams are going to go for this guy. Basically saying, my league, a bunch of the teams are going to tank in my league this season. But it hasn't happened whatsoever. LaMelo Ball just came back. He could have been held out longer. Would anybody have batted an eye? I don't think so. They're 4-11. So nobody's racing for the bottom right now. I guess it'll happen
later. Not yet.
Later.
Not yet. I think there'll be some shenanigans later on.
Yeah. Yeah. But OKC could have got away with it with Chet Holmgren being out. And you could have held out Shai. But anyway, the Bulls are in a good spot.
Okay. So they're not trading all those guys Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. The Lonzo Ball thing sucks. That's another part of it, too. Mm-hmm. When will the man return?
Next one here. Hey, guys, not sure if you saw this, but yesterday at an investor conference, Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Vasilev stated that the company does not, quote, have to have the NBA, and that a new deal would have to be a deal for the future instead of one for the past. Now, the NBA currently has media deals with Disney's ESPN and ABC and Warner Brothers Discovery's TNT that are set to expire at the conclusion of the 2024-25 season. So coming up here. But what's the play here in him saying this, I guess? Just hard negotiating? Or could we really see inside the NBA with no live games to analyze? And that email was from a man named Doug, who we forgot to put up on that board. Sorry, Doug. But what do you think about this? He's making some waves there yesterday with the CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery, which is, you know, TNT there, saying, man, we don't really need the NBA. We're not going to spend $100 billion on it? You crazy? What do you think? Is this just negotiating as they get closer?
They just signed Barkley for a bajillion dollars. Is Barkley going to be talking for 5 hours without a game? They need games.
Yeah.
I think this is pure negotiation. It is going to be a battle like they've never seen before, I suppose, with Apple jumping in and Amazon jumping in, Amazon wanting all the sports that they can get. But that's what I think it's going to be. It's going to be a negotiation battle, really. I do not see them just walking away. Nah.
What do you think, Trey?
Yes, I agree that this is posturing. I mean, Barkley and those guys do have a clause in their contract where if the NBA rights aren't with Warner Discovery, they can get out of their contract. So, I mean, that is not a thing to me, but it's more like I think that they signed all of the inside the NBA guys so that when the negotiations can come up, they can say, hey, we've still got inside the NBA locked up for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
You don't want them going to Amazon or whatever, right? You don't want, like, what happened with Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. They are now suddenly the ESPN announcers. They've got the biggest names in the sport lined up for this next negotiation. This is just them saying, we don't want to pay $100 billion. basically.
Yeah.
We would rather pay $75 billion.
Yeah, let me give you like the breakdowns of all the leagues that they pay for. Warner Brothers, Discovery Sports, Turner Sports, whatever you want to call it, Warner. NBA, by far the most expensive of their sports properties. At an average of $1.2 billion per year. That's what they pay. $200 million for the NHL. $470 million for baseball. And then Warner splits with their NCAA deal with CBS. It's very expensive, too. Starting in 26, it's like $1.05 billion. But they split that, so it's half that cost. So, yeah, it's going to be way more than $1.2 billion. We know that. And it's just, is Zaslav just trying to get ahead of it, saying, yeah, don't go asking for too much, because we have a breaking point. Do they? Now, he has gotten to cost-cutting a lot since taking over as CEO.
What, the starters?
yeah. That was the first thing. First thing Warner Brothers discovered. Cut them. Now, we were only making about $800 million a year. So, I mean, I see that you see that number on the sheet, and you got to cut it. But, yeah, I think this is just
where was our clause?
I think this is just aggressive negotiating here. I mean, we've been with them for 3 decades. It would be weird. It would be if Turner Sports didn't have the NBA. Be like, I don't watch a lot of other programs on Turner or TBS. Or I don't know. Are you watching Rizzolo and Isles or Franklin and Bash?
Oh, man. If they brought back Franklin and Bash, I would be.
Okay.
I watched the first 3 seasons of Franklin and Bash. Of all the like random TNT shows that were on, Franklin and Bash is the best one. Shout out to Mark Paul Gosselaar and Breckenmeyer. Just love those guys. I'll support them in anything they do. But I don't know. I'm old enough to remember when it wasn't TNT that had the NBA. I like Round Ball Rock. So if NBC gets it, fine by me.
Mm.
Yeah. I was zooming through the guide yesterday, and I saw some bad drama going on. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to enjoy this show for a little bit. I'm going to stick around here. I just want to see some television, just some old
just
cable
old television.
I stayed for 5 minutes and I was out.
Didn't they cut like all of their scripted content? I think I'm pretty sure they did. It's like all more. It's all more reality based. Yeah.
It's all Impractical Jokers now.
Oh, that's on a lot.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Trey brings up a great point about just shifting over your talent. I didn't know the Barkley clause is in there. I imagine that that makes sense.
Probably is. Yeah.
Yeah, because. Yeah, it's $100 mil, north of $100 mil. It's not quite Tony Romo money, but I guess they just – that guy specifically, Charles Barkley specifically, will just move over and still get paid for another decade.
Well, he was going to go call golf for a second there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he just wants to live.
Next one. Hi, guys. Longtime listener. Found you when Grantland ran the overdose pods and have been listening ever since. On occasion, my wife will overhear the podcast or video, and many years ago, when you were still the Basketball Jones, she commented how you were always laughing and giggling and nicknamed you the Giggly Boys. As I giggle away. Whenever she hears your voices, she calls you the Giggly Boys. I don't know. Should we make a t-shirt? Sure. So my question for you is, what is a nickname for something that only you and your wife use? Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome. That's from Brian in Grantsville, Maryland. So I guess it doesn't have to be a nickname for each other to you and your wife.
No.
It could be a nickname that you and your wife use for whatever, I guess. You got anything?
It's always tough to try and think of them. Because
yeah.
I said to Danielle, we've got to have some. What are they? We've been racking our brains for hours and hours and hours since this question came up on the couch last evening. The only thing we could come up with was we try to get our kids to eat some meat, try and get them to eat some steak.
Mm-hmm.
And I sing to them instead of I'm a scat man. I sing, I'm the steak man. And I try and shove food in their face. So the scat man becomes the steak man. We go get from a local Greek man. We get a little Greek bakery and cheese factory. We get cheese from this Greek man. Anyways, he brings the cheese all the way from across the pond from Greece. So we call him Cheese Man. And so my daughter and I go get Cheese Man.
You call him Cheese Man, the Cheese Man.
Yeah, but he does other things. He's not just a block of cheese. He is a man who sells other products.
Isn't that what Austin
needs,
right?
Oh, right, yeah.
Doesn't Austin mean cheese man? Yeah. In,
is it Danish? Or...
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, something.
Anyways, it's great cheese. Cheese man. He lives up to his nickname.
Right. Trey, you got anything?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Can you do better than that? Because mine's worse, I'll tell you right now.
Oh, no, these are all dumb. They're all bad. Yeah. Because it's like a joke for one other person. Literally, your wife. That's it. We call me the troll around the house because I watch most of the games down in the basement. So when I come up, I act like a troll emerging from under the bridge to get sustenance.
Okay.
We live near a high school. There's a kid that walks to school every day. He's got very curly hair, much like myself, and his hair was growing out, getting longer and longer over the course of last school year, and we call this kid Puff.
Okay.
What's up, Puff?
Okay. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Really? Yeah, buddy.
Oh, he goes to my son's high school.
Yeah, it's called Puff.
You know Puff?
Yeah, you can get it on this Puff. As well.
Okay. What do you got, JD? Anything? You can stay away.
A very similar experience to Tess, where we were hemming and hawing, and I snapped my fingers, and this was actually a bad moment because I was like, oh, yeah, of course. You know how we call Game of Thrones shows, the House of Dragons. You know how we call them Tits and Dragons. Let's go watch Tits and Dragons. Right? And she's like, we don't call it that. You call it that. I'm like, oh, yeah. I guess you never have said that because, you know, it was back when Ian McShane was on the show and he was like, he got in trouble because he spoiled a bunch of stuff. And then he was like, oh, let them get back to their tits and dragons. And I've called it that ever since. So, yeah, that's all I had. And it's a single nickname that I use. And then I realized we got our man Jerome coming in tomorrow to the Classic Factory. And I realized that I have all these nicknames of things in the Classic Factory. Like when you guys are, when I'm shooting you guys here at the table,
yeah,
and one guy is talking,
yeah,
the other two guys will just look down at their computers because they're looking at, you know, notes and
stats,
the stream yard stats, and you're collecting your thoughts for the next thing. But I call that tax time. But nobody knows that. I literally call it that in my own brain. So I'm excited
to tell
Jerome to come. Tomorrow and say, hey, watch out for tax time because it looks like these guys are doing their taxes.
Because we're looking at our computers crunching the numbers.
Yeah.
Right. Lee was the worst for that, by the way.
he was always doing taxes.
He would make his point and then just like intensely looking at the stream team.
Bad habits.
It's tough.
Well, I mean, hey, we're doing a live show here. It's a podcast. So, you know, you got to look at your notes. You got to – basketball reference is always up there.
Nah. We're showmen. Heads up. Computer's down. No, I hear you.
It's tough not to.
No, I'm busy. I'm busy.
Yeah,
right
hold on. He's doing
tax
his taxes.
Tax time. I didn't know you were going with he's doing his taxes. I thought it was going to be like you're paying a tax on.
No, you're like – it's – yeah. Just the intensity in which you look at basketball reference. It's like, what are they?
A lot of numbers.
Very angry stats on this.
My answer for this, I also had difficulty answering it. Talked to Nora about it. What's something? And the best we could come up with was taking Luna to the dog park and not knowing any of the other dogs' names, but just knowing them by whatever we call them. So there's a crazy dog, dumb dog, big dummy dog, you know, slobber dog, you know, tiny aggressive dog, like... Because you're not learning their names. Maybe every once in a while if you see them, but otherwise you just whatever characteristic that they're displaying there in the dog park, that's what we name. All right, final one here. Hello, Mr. No Dunks. Big fan since the TBJ days and fellow Toronto Metropolitan University alum, which was Ryerson. It's so weird to see that. I saw their logo, TMU. Wow, it was weird. I was recently perusing Twitter and came across a question I thought would be great to get the No Dunks boys' insight on. The question was basically, from now on, you can only visit the countries from one 2022 FIFA World Cup group. Which group are you picking and why? Interested to hear the various opinions on the No Dunks gentlemen. From the No Dunks gentlemen. All the best from Victoria, BC. Oh, beautiful part of the country. That's from Jack Longo. Love your supermarkets. Canadian joke. World Cup groups. This is a good one. If you can only, I guess, visit the countries from one particular group, we're showing them to everybody here on YouTube. Which one you going with, Tass? What group has your eye?
Tough one here. Tough I guess the one. real answer is we are in America. My home country is Canada. They're in Group F. So that would be the real answer.
That's a power group for visiting, too. Let's be honest.
Exactly.
Belgium, Canada, Morocco, and Croatia. Those are...
Yes.
That's good.
That's damn good group.
Yes. I would love to go to Morocco. Great stars in Morocco. I want to go to Croatia to see the sets of Tits and Thrones.
and, Tits and Dragons.
Sorry.
Tits and Thrones.
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense.
You're thinking Dicks and Thrones.
In Belgium.
Yeah.
Great food in Belgium. Anyway, but I think my real answer is I kind of like the groupie of the Spain, Costa Rica, same. Germany, and
That's
Japan.
That's nice. That's really nice.
So heart says group E, head says group F for me.
Okay. TK, where are you going?
I was eyeballing group E as well, and I will also throw group G into the mix, and they both are getting a vote for me because lots of different continents. So you're going to many, many different places, which I think is good.
Yeah, Brazil, Serbia, Switzerland, and Cameroon for group G. You call
That's the limit. That's the definitely the limited group F.
JD, do you have an answer?
It's E. It's got to be E because I haven't been to any of those countries. Well, I've been to Germany, but I haven't actually spent any real time in Germany. Mm-hmm. But never been to Costa Rica, Spain, and Japan is 100% number one with a bullet on my bucket list.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, that's a fun one for everybody out there. Help Jack out. Which group from the World Cup are you going to? When's this get underway?
Sunday, I think.
Sunday?
Pretty sure.
Wow. All right. I mean, it's always nice just having a random soccer game on that you're like semi-interested in. Just enough. Oh, we got Canada in this. I'm going to be all into those games. You want to go watch it at Halfway Crooks? They're doing a whole thing where you can go watch like all the World Cup games. And they got a couple Canada games featured.
Is that the United?
What's that?
The United bar? No. No.
No. It's, it's a good football
bar. Summerhill.
Yeah. What were you thinking?
I'm thinking the one in Oakhurst, no? Not Oakhurst. Nuts. The United bar. We've been there before.
United bar.
Midpoints?
Oh,
Midway.
Oh, we had a meeting there once.
Yeah. That one.
That one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that place.
That's a great, great sports bar. All right. Let's hear from everybody.
Okay.
We got to take one more break. Pay the bills. When we come back, pick 'em results, tweet of the night. There are so many things I wish we could have both ways. For example, a zero-calorie cheeseburger. How about red wine without the headache? A dog that never poops. That'd be heaven. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords, stiff chinos, rather than effortless comfort. But it's possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. I'm sorry, Don Draper. This is 2024. I want to look good and feel comfortable. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I got a little bit of everything. The air-knit boxer briefs are so good. The Ace sweatpant, mad comfy, but also great tailored fit. And because this is the summer of Henleys, yeah, I'm calling it, it's the summer of Henleys, you know I threw a few of them in my virtual shopping cart. Peacocking is for the birds, baby! Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. They're not flashy, just classic. Sort of like a No Dunks podcast. Always in style, always crazy comfortable. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code NoDunks. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NoDunks.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, we're back. Pick 'em results from last night. The Kings They were favorited last night by 1.5 points against the Brooklyn Nets. They covered quite easily. Kings get the win. That's a dub for me and Trey. I'm 8-2. You're 6-4. Tassie, leaning into the tank.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
You're 2-8 here in the month of November. But what's tonight's game? So lots to pick from.
A beautiful sket tonight in the association with a big one in Phoenix. Golden State trying to win their first road game of the season. Going to Phoenix, it's basically a pick 'em. The Suns are favored by 1.5 points over the Warriors. You guys picked the Warriors. I'll stick with the Suns.
Who knows for what like happens. The eighth straight night, yeah. It's Trey and I on one side and Tass on the opposite.
Yeah, I gotta keep going with that same flow, same energy. Hopefully you guys keep winning.
This was tough. This was a tough. I was like, did the Warriors get that first road win tonight? I don't know why I feel like it happens, but what was your reasoning?
Well, you want to go behind the picks?
Yeah, sure.
Behind the board here? You were the first pick in.
Yeah.
Tass was not in yet. I could go anywhere.
Yeah.
Swerve, could join up with you. We've been on such a roll.
We're hot.
I was like, we got to keep it going. I did feel a little bad for Tass, though. But you put the game in. You could have picked
first. I could have picked right away.
You picked right away, so I was like, Tass is given the opportunity.
I think it's smart. Yeah. I bet it works in your favor tonight.
Probably so.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Yeah, this one's pretty fun. It sort of started 2 nights ago when the Magic broadcasts, they do like this fun segment, Is This Anything? Where they just put up like some funny, like weird stats, and @_talkin_NBA grabbed the screen grab. And again, this was 2 nights ago, and it was showing height to letters, the highest ratio. So like the shortest named guys to like the tallest height in terms of inches and what that ratio is and who has it. So you see there, Bol Bol, 86 inches tall, 6 letters in his name. Wow, a 14.3 ratio.
What a ratio.
JT Thor, right there, you know, only 6 letters, but 82 inches tall. So I tweeted, you know, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but like, I've said it on the show before, like, this is the type of shit that used to keep me up at night, or actually help me to fall asleep, oddly. Like, I would think of, like, the longest names and the shortest names and all this. Like, this was next level of that, right? Mm-hmm. So then Schumann responds to me, yeah, but then somebody posts this, the thing we just saw, and then you got to try to figure out the lowest ratio. You're right, Shu. You're right. And all it took was, I don't know, a good 24 hours for @NBA in our stats to come through with what Schumann was requesting, the opposite of the Is This Anything from the Magic broadcast. Ask and you shall receive. It is the longest names to the shortest person in the NBA. And what's the lowest ratio? And it appears we have a tie, if you can trust the work here from @NBA in our stats. Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, both with 22 letters in their name, and both identical heights at 77 inches. And that ratio, 3.5. And you see the rest of the list there. So,
oh, they got
go.
A 3.5?
What's that?
They got a 3.5 on the ratio.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Yes,
this
they
is
do.
Like, this is like the trending score.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
None of this means anything. But
I love it.
It's, you know, hopefully you can sleep a little easier at night.
That tweet got ratioed, I guess. Is This Anything is a very no-dunksy segment on the Magic
broadcast. Oh, I love it. I love it. So
it is
good.
Fun. It is fun. They think of great stuff
they
on that
do.
Broadcast.
They do. They come through with what? Do they do it every single game? I think they do.
It feels like it.
Yeah. Great stuff. Thank you for NBA in our stats for the opposite of what they were showing us on the Magic broadcast. All right. That's it for us, guys. That was a fun time, eh?
Yeah, minor shout-out tweet of the night to Trey Kirby, because he got 2 retweets from Bob Muscala, father of Mike Muscala.
Cool. Well, I saw Trey Young responded to TK. That was cool.
I didn't see that. I saw Bob Muscala.
Didn't Trey Young reply
huge tweet,
to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge tweet. Yeah, Big Ten tweet.
Well, I think
I like the Bob Muscala one a little bit better, but I saw you with the – so he responded to the – the tech call?
I think it'll come up maybe in Worst of the Week on Friday, right?
What, Trey's tweet?
Not Trey's tweet. We had some terrible technical
text.
Foul calls. Some were rescinded, I know. Was Trey's rescinded? I know Tatum's
not yet. Oh. Tatum's clapper was suspended, but Trey's too small. Still on the call.
Still out there.
Yeah.
You think the NBA is going to come down on this too small here very soon?
Yeah. I don't, because we saw it like 100 times last night.
I know, but that's my worry. Like, everybody's doing it.
I hope they don't. It's ridiculous. It's like NFL-ish to be calling
a
technical on that.
I hope you're right. All right, go peep the new No Breaks episode from yesterday. That has its own podcast feed, YouTube feed. Join us tomorrow morning here at the Classic Factory, live at 10 a.m. Eastern, and then later for our Survivor Recap podcast. Going to be a banger episode. Perfect time to get in if you want to watch Survivor tonight and hear us talk about it on No Bus tomorrow.
Two vote outs tonight,
huh? Oh, yeah.
Get
your picks in. And also keep an eye and an ear out on Thursday night for a new episode of Is This Good with special guest Matt Bonner. Yeah, two-time champ Matt Bonner, the Red Rocket himself, going on Is This Good, which has its own podcast feed, its own YouTube feed. Matty O and Matty B together again. They were always a hilarious little combo, actually, the two of them. Yeah, so that'll be a great episode. I can't wait. Yeah.
Just need Matty D.
And then, well, Matty D is going to be here in Atlanta on the weekend. Hawks or Raptors are coming down to Atlanta see Atlanta.
Matty D, can you you want to come over to the studio? Matty D, come on over and grab Trey Young as well, because Trey Young responded to Trey's tweet.
Yeah,
let's get him on the show, both of them.
All right,
separate segments though. We got to create content. Might as well max it out.
Geez.
Matty D, just hang out in the car for a bit while we interview Trey Young.
All right, this Friday's episode starring Matt Devlin and Trey Young live from the Classic Factory. So make sure you subscribe. Until tomorrow, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Trey Young is a bigger star than Bob Muscala, father of Mike Muscala, NBA player.
Brace the day, people.